sitting in Big Jim's garage Monday, sipping on a cup of coffee, and like the rest of the world, we're trying to figure out what the hell happened in Las Vegas Saturday night, John Anik.
Oh, Jim, I don't know what to tell you, man. You know, I figured by the time we were scheduled to chat today that I would have processed everything, but I think there's still some video and audio out there to be ingested. So hopefully by the time I crack a mic for my podcast later today, I'll know what the hell I'm talking about.
Do you think, though, that John, and by the way, great job on the call, because there was so much going on. I mean, and the other fights, too. It was an amazing card and an amazing fight up to that point. And then when it busted out, you guys... But you said something afterwards, and I was thinking about it all weekend. I think you were right. That was premeditated. He knew who he was going after. Khabib knew who he was going to go after that fight.
So this is something that Joe Rogan and I really disagreed on, and I used the word calculated because I was putting everything that I had heard prior to the fight together with what I saw on fight night. And immediately after Khabib Nurmagomedov finished Conor McGregor, he was looking for the fight after the fight. And I'm not even, Jim, talking about Dylan Danis, and we'll get there in a second. But he was trash-talking Conor. He was still putting physical weight on Conor before Herb Dean finally had to physically remove him from Conor. Then he races across the octagon and gets into it with Dylan Danis. And then, of course, Zubair Tuhugov, Khabib's teammate, came into the octagon, and he got into it with Conor McGregor. It seemed to me that this retaliation was an eventuality, and if it didn't happen in the arena, it would have spilled over to the streets or the hotel.
Does the fact that the fighters are not employees of the UFC, they're like hired hands, right? I mean, at this point, they're under a contract to go perform. Once that match ends, are they basically on their own to defend themselves if it comes to court issues and things like that, or is the UFC still responsible?
No, it's a good question, and you're right. If they were full-time employees, you know, maybe that would give them some pause, or in that moment they would have a cooler head prevail. But, yeah, they are essentially on their own. But I think big picture, what a lot of people now realize since we've had, you know, 36 hours or so to digest this, is that culturally speaking – there are certain lines for certain people that you just don't cross. And even though I think everything is pretty much fair game in the fight game, especially when you're talking about someone like Conor McGregor, who's really just using it as pre-fight fuel, I don't think there's any legitimate malice or animosity there, even though he's well-researched in presenting that trash talk. But Khabib Nurmagomedov has certain lines that he doesn't want crossed. And when those lines get crossed, he doesn't care about his $2 million paycheck being withheld. He doesn't care about upsetting the masses. He doesn't care about potentially beer bottles being thrown at him as he exits the arena. He's going to do right by his people and his family and his culture. And, you know, I do have some semblance of respect for that, even though I wish his intellect had prevailed and he had made a better decision in the moment.
It is a great point. And, you know, we always, any fan of the fight game, and no matter what combat sports, look at Ali. I mean, a lot of people felt at the time that Ali went too far with Frazier.
I mean, right. Absolutely. And there are plenty of parallels to be drawn there. And, you know, some people have asked me, oh, do you think they're going to rein Conor McGregor in at this point in time? And I just think that is pretty ambitious to think that, you know, you're going to be able to muzzle him 5 years into his career when he has become far and away the biggest superstar in mixed martial arts history.
So we know that Conor McGregor said he wasn't going to press charges, but it's kind of out of his hands. If this happened, you know, if you endangered some of the 20,000 people there, can't the city of Las Vegas, can they press charges against these people?
Yeah, so the police were making their way to the TV truck, and they were trying to get their hands on all of the video footage and, of course, the audio, which might have some value as well. I think part of the reason, Jim, candidly, that Conor McGregor is not pressing charges is because he also threw a punch. And even though I would argue Conor was just defending himself, right, from people who were jumping in the octagon. So I think most of Conor's behavior after the fight was defensible in just trying to defend himself. But I think because he did throw punches, he just felt like to distance himself from it and not keep guys, you know, in holding was the best decision. I mean, if you watch the footage, Conor did throw one left hand
right
at somebody in Khabib's camp who seemingly was trying to exit the octagon to go help Khabib, and then Conor threw a left hand at him. Jim, if that left hand lands and knocks that guy out, imagine what we're talking about today. So I think for me, my thesis statement, and I know I'm bouncing all over the place a little bit, but my thesis statement is this could have been a whole lot worse.
I agree.
And the reason it wasn't in some part is because of what happened with the Dolly in April. UFC security is amped up to such an extent. You parlay that with the T-Mobile Arena security, Las Vegas Metro Police Department. You can't give those people enough credit for minimizing the damage Saturday night.
Does Khabib, is he risking getting kicked out of the country? I know Bisping was talking about that after the fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair talking point. You know, I'm no legal expert, but visas are hard to come by, for sure. And,
yeah.
You know, Abdulmanap Nurmagomedov, Khabib's father, has had a hard time getting into the United States for years, and that's why he wasn't in Khabib's corner Saturday night. So I am hopeful that, you know, this will be in some part chalked up to the fight game, even though maybe some will say it's a black eye for the fight game, that this was just emotions in the moment. And, you know, we have had fighters exit the octagon before. Even Conor McGregor exited and gotten Jose Aldo's face. I think what separates this is that Khabib was going into the crowd to pursue a fight. I do think eventually he'll be able to fight in the United States again. I'm hopeful that he'll still be able to receive a good chunk of his payday. And I will say, Jim, you know, I have so much respect for Khabib as a man and an athlete. He's established so much goodwill with me up to this point that it's hard for me not to want to pardon this forgettable moment for him because of all the good things he's done for the sport and for his people.
You know, and the unfortunate thing that gets lost in all this is he destroyed Conor McGregor. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. He made him quit.
Right. I mean, you and I will go 7 minutes in and we haven't even talked about.
Exactly. Yeah, he destroyed Conor McGregor.
Yeah, he deserves a whole lot of credit. And big picture, you know, I don't know what people's appetite is for a rematch. I think with this post-fight melee, I think the rematch is obviously going to have legs, and any fight that Conor McGregor is involved in is going to be big. But it's hard for me to believe, based upon what we saw Saturday night, that Conor could beat Khabib more than once or twice out of 10 times. I mean, I know Conor had some moments there, won that third round. But this is the worst stylistic matchup for him by a mile in this 155-pound division, and that's why I think a lot of people respect Conor for ending a two-year hiatus against a guy like this that seemingly he didn't have a great chance to beat.
Tony Ferguson get the next shot at the Eagle? Is he the next one?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are going to be some ramifications that are far-reaching when it comes to what happened. And I don't know what the timeline is going to be, but if Khabib is suspended for any significant amount of time, perhaps the promotion would look to have him vacate the title or strip him of that title. But I'm glad you brought up Tony Ferguson in our short time, because I cannot say loudly enough that this guy needs to fight for the undisputed UFC lightweight championship in his next fight. 11 straight wins at 155 pounds. That's never been done before, right?
Right.
Khabib has 11 straight wins in the UFC, but some of those were catchweight fights, right, because of the short notice nature of them, what have you. Tony Ferguson is a first ballot Hall of Famer, despite having never held the undisputed UFC lightweight title. I think for my money, he's the most exciting fighter in the sport. And, you know, heart and mental toughness are things intangibly that maybe are hard to quantify. Ferguson's got those in spades and obviously has every skill you'd want out of a truly elite guy. And even when he gets hurt, I mean, do you see him somersault out of harm's way? I mean, this is as watchable a combat sports athlete as I've ever seen.
When you talk about someone who could deal with chain wrestling like Khabib does, Tony's the one guy I think who could do it, and just he could work his way out of it.
I think that's fair, and I think, as some of your listeners may know, it is a fight that the promotion has tried to make four times, and for one reason or another, weight-cutting issues or injuries, it hasn't happened. But that, I think, for a lot of the avid, hardcore mixed martial arts fans, is their dream fight and the fight that they have, you know, wanted to see happen and materialize for years.
So do you make the McGregor-Silva fight just to get him a win?
Man, it's crazy to think about that type of size discrepancy. I mean, even though I think Conor McGregor would, you know, get himself up to 195 pounds and maybe cut down to middleweight or a catchweight of 180 pounds.
Yeah.
But when you have done what Conor McGregor has done, you can command really any fight that you want. I think the immediate rematch against Khabib Nurmagomedov will be a tough sell promotionally, internally, even though maybe some fans would like to see it right away because of what happened. But, yeah, I think for Conor, really it just comes down to what fight does he want. Does he want George St. Pierre? Does he want Anderson Silva, which he said before the fight? Does he want Tyron Woodley, which sounds crazy to think that he would get a shot at the UFC welterweight champion, but hey, look, man, there's one Conor McGregor. It's his world, and for better or for worse, we're kind of all living in it.
Whose blood was on the back of your shirt?
So So that was Anthony Showtime Pettis's
daughter. Oh, that was Pettis's. Okay.
You know, a lot of people. So what's crazy is that, I mean, this was legitimately a blood shower, Jim, right? And people are saying, how could you get that much blood on your back? And it was just so much blood that it literally went above us and rained down upon us. And gotta love my man, Joe Rogan, because our makeup artist came over and she was trying to clean up the table. It was all over my fighter cards. And Joe just loved it so much and was so in his element, he stopped her. He said, no, just leave the blood, leave the blood. So I certainly have a souvenir, and I'm going to try to get it signed by Anthony Showtime Pettis and Tony Ferguson, and maybe we can make some money for charity. We'll see.
And you can get maybe Derek Lewis's underwear autographed.
I mean, how about that?
That was greatness. My dad used to take his underwear off when he came back from the plant, but never after a UFC fight.
Yeah, I mean, and just when you think you've seen it all, Derek Lewis drops trow in the middle of the octagon. But he is the real article, right? I mean, what you see is what you get, and that's why he has such a massive fan base. You know, we don't have that many guys, Jim, domestically in the U.S. who can sell out arenas. You know, Cody Garbrandt's a guy that can sell out arenas in Pennsylvania and Ohio. Derek Lewis can sell out the home of the Houston Rockets. And I hope that he gets an opportunity to do that. And again, he's won 9 of 10. Depending on what happens with Brock Lesnar, Derek Lewis's next fight could very well be for the UFC heavyweight title.
Last question, I'll let you go. John Anik with us, and you are so gracious. I know you have got to be fried. That was one hell of a weekend for you, man.
Yeah, man, I'm burning at all ends. Driving back from the Miami airport right now, so hopefully the phone sounds pretty good.
That's great.
I think I'm just going on adrenaline, and then, you know, once my podcast is done later today, I'll probably pass out. But it's just crazy when you think about what today, you know, Monday morning quarterback was to be. And it really was just going to be recapping this fight. And instead, I think most of the narrative over the next few weeks without a live UFC event until October 27th is going to be about this post-fight melee and the ramifications really on all sides.
Absolutely. The last question, not Khabib related, going back to Derek. Could you hear? Yep. I would love to know what it sounded like when he hit him, when he knocked him out with that punch.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was audible for sure. And there's no microphone in the gloves or anything like that. I just feel like there are certain heavyweights like Derek Lewis that have this, I think I said on the broadcast, break your face open type
exactly.
of power. And Lewis sort of just keeps himself in the fight. And even though he's never going to be great cardiovascularly, it's not necessarily because he doesn't put in the right work or the right time. It's just he uses a lot of energy when he punches. He punches hard. And when he gets hit, obviously he got compromised. But, man, he just has so much heart, you know. And I think that's something that he has leaned on. You know, we've seen him rally from adversity in a lot of different UFC fights. And I will say, too, about Alexander Volkov, the guy he knocked out. All he had to do, Jim, was get on a bicycle and circle away, and he was going to win that fight.
I was yelling at him, going, like, why are you doing this? I was screaming at him, why are you doing this?
And for his coaches, too, who I talked to after the fact, you know, there's always two sides to this. We're all so happy for the Black Beast. But for Alexander Volkov, you know, that decision to sort of engage Lewis in the pocket and not get on his bike to preserve the win, the financial ramifications for him and his coaches potentially are huge, because he would have been the guy in the conversation to fight for the heavyweight title.
He would, man. And Derek Lewis, to me, if Ernie Shavers was an MMA fighter, it'd be Derek Lewis. Same kind of right? That big, I mean, just...
Yeah.
That bomb, you know it's coming, you don't know when, and when it lands, it's over, man. John, get some rest. God bless you for doing this morning, man. That was one of the most wild weekends and most entertaining things. I can tell you, as a fan watching it on pay-per-view Saturday night, I couldn't sleep afterwards. I was so amped up. I could not sleep. I had to talk about it. I was like, just that nervous energy, and I can only imagine being there in the building. That same electricity is probably still running through you.
It's amazing, man. And these shows are always hard to come down from, but I didn't go to bed until 5 a.m. Pacific. And even then, I was up for the NFL kickoff 4 hours later. So, yeah, man, I mean, it is just when you think you've seen it all, you know, we saw what happened on Saturday night. But that's why, for a lot of us, it's the greatest sport in the world. You know, I spent the first 30 years of my life in Massachusetts. And for me to sit down and watch Red Sox Yankees tonight, I mean, yes, it's anxious. Yes, it's exciting for me, but mixed martial arts has kind of ruined a lot of these other sports for me because, you know, a singular at bat in Major League Baseball just doesn't do for me, I think, what it used to, because MMA is just so damn compelling.
Yeah, now you got me. I'm going to stop here, but now you got me thinking about Stanton and Judge as MMA fighters. Put them as heavyweights.
Oh man, well it's Greg Hardy. I don't know how much you've seen of what he's doing,
he's
but
destroying people.
You know, I mean, and they're proceeding, I think, in the right way with him. But there are top 10 heavyweights right now that he would absolutely murder.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree. All right, buddy. Hey, John, get some rest, man. God bless you for doing this. Thank you so much. We love you here in the Motor City. And thanks for the time, bud.
My pleasure, man. Always. Thanks for reaching out. I'll talk to you soon.